الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وزوجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا مزيدا. أما بعد، we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By Allah's grace and mercy and facilitation, we have been successful in going over the complete surah of Al-Fatiha, Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran and Al-Kahf, all of which is available on MP3 files, or in MP3 files, available in audio files. Whoever is interested in getting the whole thing can speak to me afterwards. Alaykum salam. Today, inshaAllah, we will begin Surah An-Nisa. And as you all may know, Nisa means women. Nisa means women. And even though some may not pay attention to that, we actually use the title of the surah to refute the misconception amongst the non-Muslims that women are not important in Islam. So in the context of refuting them, say, listen man, we have a whole surah, one of the biggest surah in the Quran, and it's titled An-Nisa, women. If they were so unimportant, then they wouldn't get that title. Do you have in the Bible a chapter called women? I don't think so. So even the name of the surah is an evidence for us that women are important, rather equally important in regards to their deeds and belief and being able to be admitted to paradise and get privileges that men get. In that regard, we're equal. But if they're trying to call for equality between men and women on all fronts, then we say no. Men and women are not equal. Islam is not a religion of equality in this sense. Not between men and women, and not between Islam and other religions. We are not a religion of equality. Whoever says that is a liar or an ignorant person. Now, who can give us an evidence from the Quran that men and women are not alike? Ha, Jama'ah. There's an ayah, or even part of an ayah, which is clear, like... Tab Jameel, men are protectors, caretakers, responsible for women. Good. But I was thinking of one that is generally speaking about male and female, and not in relation to one another.
Is it perhaps that ayah where Allah refers the kuffar are referring to Allah having daughters?
No. Not that one. You all know Imra'at Imran? When she delivered Maryam, she was expecting a boy, and she had already vowed that this boy would be, that child which she will get, would be dedicated for the services of the temple. And then she delivered a female. Inni wada'tuha untha. Then Allah said, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And male is not like female. The male is not like the female. This ayah is silencing to anyone who would like to prove otherwise. Allah told us, لَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. They're not the same. And so we have to treat them per the difference which Allah Azza wa Jalla stipulated, which is that they are not equal, and that men have a role to play in life in terms of livelihood, and women have a role blame. We can't make women go out and run businesses and wear suits while men are home nursing the children and, you know, babysitting them. It just doesn't work. They're trying to do it in the Western world, it just doesn't work. There's something majorly wrong. The man will become most likely a homosexual within a short period of time, because it's not a man's ability to do this. Now there are exceptions to the rule because of the death of a wife and he's unable to get another wife, so he has to take care of the children, no problem. But as a role in life, a woman working and a man sitting at home, it doesn't click. Who's going to build the construction work? You think women can work on tahliya? You know how long they've been working on tahliya here to build that kubri? You think women can go out there and do the job? Can you imagine women do you know, with a tractor and a caterpillar? It's not going to happen, man. Men do this. And men cannot do the job of women. So this is used in da'wah because one of the most major misconceptions about Islam is that women in Islam are this, they're oppressed, they're insignificant, blah, blah, blah. So we need to know how to answer and defend our deen with logic. After knowing the textual evidence, so no one can deal with us. We can just silence the opponent. So we say, wow, did you know that there's a surah called Surah An-Nisa, the chapter of women, and Allah Azza wa Jalla detailed the rights of women in the surah. Now you will not find this in any other scripture. So they need to be quiet. Surah An-Nisa, وَهِيَ مَدَنِيَّ. What does madaniya mean? Could there be an exception to the rule? Because the scholars have differed. Some of them said madaniya means it was revealed after the hijrah, but it doesn't have to be in Medina. Yani after they migrated to Medina, but they were on a journey, or they went back to Mecca for Umrah, and an ayah was revealed. They will not categorize it, according to some of these scholars at least, or most of them, they will not categorize it as a Makki surah. Even though it came down in Mecca, why? Because it happened after the hijrah to Medina, so it is still labeled as Madaniya. Is that clear? Jameel. I say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. Allah says, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. Oh mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul, and from him created his partner, and from them dispersed many men and women upon earth. And fear Allah to whom you demand your mutual rights, and reverence the wombs that bore you, or keep your kinship ties. Verily Allah is ever a watcher or watchful over you. This ayah, along with the other one, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. In what surah is that? Surah Al-Imran. Right? Surah Al-Imran. And the one in Surah Al-Ahzab, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. These three ayat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to quote in khutbat al-hajah, or khutbat al-hajah, which is what he would use very often in introducing his speeches alayhi salatu wasalam, or his Friday sermons. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله. You've heard it before. This is the sunnah to begin a speech. It is not, I repeat, it is not the sunnah to say when you are beginning a talk, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. No. No, it is not. And the Prophet ﷺ never used it. You don't begin your speech with refuge, seeking refuge with Allah. You don't begin with isti'ada. Because when I hear you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, I'm expecting Quran next. I'm expecting Quran next. And when do you actually say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim? Not when you want to quote a couple of ayat. When you want to begin reciting the Quran. Otherwise, if I'm giving a lecture, every time I'm going to quote an ayah, I have to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Allah says. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Allah says. Ma ya akhi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during his khutbah, during his talks, he wouldn't do isti'adah for every ayah. So in case he's saying, well, I'm seeking refuge because I want to say, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani, say, look, are you reciting the Quran or are you making dua? He will say, I'm making dua. Say, do you do isti'adah before dua? Do you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar? La. You don't. Because now you mean dua. So whichever way they say it, whether they say we're making dua, we want to begin with isti'adah, we say this is an innovation. Or they say that we want to do it because we're quoting ayat from the Quran, we say you don't do this when you quote a couple of ayat from the Quran either. So stop beginning your speeches by saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri ila akhiri. Stop doing it. Because when Aisha radiallahu anha and others, when they described the Prophet ﷺ when he would give talks, he said, بعد حمد الله أو حمد الله وأثنى عليه ثم قال كذا وكذا وكذا. He praised Allah. He praised Allah, venerated Him, then He reminded the people with such and such and such. So, and Allah began the Quran with what? What's the first ayah of the Quran? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. It is not Bismillah Rahman Rahim. The Basmala in Fatiha is not from the Fatiha. The Basmala in Fatiha is not from the Fatiha. The Hadith of Sahih Muslim, Hadith of Sa'id ibn al-Mu'alla, Abu Sa'id ibn al-Mu'alla, he said that Allah Azza wa Jal said, قَصَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ فإذا قال العبد الحمد لله رب العالمين قال الله حمدني عبدي. Allah said, I have divided as-salah, which is the Fatiha, between myself and my slave into two parts. So now we're speaking about Fatiha has been divided into two parts. Then the very next thing, so when my slave says الحمد لله رب العالمين, Allah says, my slave has praised me. What is the first ayah? الحمد لله رب العالمين. Not بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So the basmala is not even part of the Fatiha. Allah began His Quran with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The Basmala is an introduction. But the first ayah of the Book of Allah is Hamd. That's, and the Prophet ﷺ used to follow that sunnah by beginning his speeches with Hamd. And you read this, the books of the scholars, they begin with Inna Alhamdulillah or Alhamdulillah. They don't begin with A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Rabbi Shrah Li Sadri Wa Sirli Amri Wa Hlul Uqdatan Min Lisani Yafqahu Qawli. Beautiful dua, but it's not applicable. So we have to stick to the sunnah even in this regard. Yes, if someone occasionally makes that dua, occasionally we say no problem. He doesn't intend, yani this is the sunnah. But when someone does it every time, everyone listening, they think now this is the sunnah, and I've seen it. People here, particular individuals, I saw them when they began their talk, they did the same thing. Thinking that this is the sunnah. And you will never hear them say, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ or الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Unfortunately, the sunnah is lost because of the substitution of the people with something else. So we need to revive the sunnah at the time when the people are abandoning it from amongst the ummah. Now, إذن هي مدنية بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So the first, the Shaykh says in commenting on this ayah, افتتح تعالى هذه السورة بالأمر بتقوى والحث على عبادته والأمر بصلة الأرحام والحث على ذلك. Allah opened up this surah or introduced this surah by commanding that we have taqwa, that we have taqwa, that we fear Him, والحث على عبادته, and encouraging us to enslave ourselves to Him and worship Him. Ibadah, we said it's both. To enslave yourself to Allah and to worship Him in the process. Because some people are slaves without worship, and some people are worshippers without being slaves. The example of the first could be the Jamad, the sun and the moon, and everything. Everything is a slave of Allah. They have no control over anything. They don't have a will to do ibadah or not do ibadah. Yes, they remember Allah Azza wa Jal, but this was already decreed by Allah. Human beings are the ones with the mashia, with the irada, with the will. And some people are worshippers, but they're not slaves. As in, he goes for salah, he fasts the month of Ramadan, he may pay the zakah, but he's not a slave to Allah in all of his affairs. So the same person who may be praying in the salah, you meet him outside the masjid, and you say, the Prophet ﷺ said, he'll say, come on man, the deen is easy, you know, don't complicate things. Allah's not going to hold me accountable for this. Allah's not going to hold me accountable for that. Inshallah. You were just worshipping Allah inside the akhi. Where's the slavery to Allah? The Prophet ﷺ tells you, if you do this, Allah will put you in the fire. Then here is this clown. He tells you, Allah's not going to put me in the fire for that. But the Messenger of Allah just told us that he's going to put you in the fire for that. Now you don't have the right to tell the Messenger of Allah you were playing games. When he told you that this will place you in the fire, you being a slave is believing and not refuting and being arrogant or what have you. You know what I'm saying? Because you have these individuals. These are not ibad or abid. These are people who do ibadah. And these are not the same. Shaitan, he was doing ibadah, but he was not abd. That's why when he was commanded to do something which didn't meet his choices and desires, he refused. قَالَ أَأَسْجُدُ لِمَا خَلَقَتَ طِينَ أَأَسْجُدُ لِمَا خَلَقَتَ طِينَ. Do you want me to prostrate to that which you made out of clay? أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ. I'm better than him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينَ. You made me out of fire, you made him out of clay. I'm not going to prostrate to him. But he was worshipping Allah among the malaika. He had ibadah, but he wasn't abd. So he became eternally cursed. And so are those who follow him on his footsteps. So we need to establish both. Slavery, which naturally will bring ibadah. It's a natural byproduct. والأمر بصلة الأرحام. And Allah commanded us that we keep the kinship ties. صلة. That's why the word, many of the scholars say صلاة comes from the root word يصل. صلة موصول, which is connect. So it's called صلاة because it connects you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والحث على ذلك. Allah encouraging us to keep our kinship ties. وبين السبب الداعي الموجب لكل من ذلك. And Allah then clarified the reason why all of these were commanded. What is that main reason which necessitates that we fear Him and that we enslave ourselves to Him and worship Him and that we keep our kinship ties? وأن الموجب لتقواه لأنه ربكم الذي خلقكم. What is that reason? Because He is Rabbukum, He is your Lord and Master. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, the one who created you. The one who created you. وَرَزَقَكُمْ, and He provided you or sustained you. وَرَبَّاكُمْ بِنِعَمِهِ الْعَظِيمَةِ الَّذِي مِنْ جُمْلَتِهَا خَلْقُكُمْ. And He raised you with His enormous bounties, which one of them, only one of them, or among them is your creation. Your creation. From what? من نفس واحدة. From a single soul. Who is it?
Adam.
Now be careful of a guy named, was it Umar, Usama? Usama Hassan. Be careful of this guy, the scholar to deviance and misguidance, who's come out in the UK in recent times claiming the concept of the Darwin theory of evolution is correct, and that Adam's parents were semi-humans. Nearly, they were almost humans. Adam's parents. Have you ever heard someone say Adam's parents? Adam, the one whom Allah created from the earth with his own hand, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Adam had parents who weren't human, they were nearly human. They were closer to apes. And he's calling to that junk. This is after claiming before that music is halal, hijab is not obligatory, and many other calamitous beliefs. And he is the imam of this masjid, the Tawheed or whatever it's called, and his father is supposed to be a big figure. And now his father, may Allah rectify his condition, is defending his son on his nonsensical claims. That's why we should be very careful. You never know when you will change. That's why we have to ask Allah always what? To keep us firm on the deen. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Allah, don't turn our hearts away after you have guided us. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. One will think he's so intelligent, he will start saying statements of kufr. Even though before that he may have been guided. So I'm saying this, so you will know that there are Muslims now who are calling to the concept that Adam had parents. And we all know that Adam had no parents. Allah created him. The first human being Allah created. He had no parents. They were neither humans nor apes. It's not like they were parents of human. No, they weren't really human. They were semi-apes. Ajeeb Allah. You listen to this and you say, no way, man. But I seen it with my own eyes. A long video that someone emailed to me in the debate he had with the people there. It's ajeeb, man. Ajeeb. Tayyib. So from a single soul, وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا, and he created from that soul its partner, لِيُنَاسِبَهَا فَيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا وَتَذِمَّ بِذَلِكَ النِّعْمَةَ وَيَحْصُلْ بِهَا السُّرُورِ. So Allah created this partner for Adam, so he may yaskun. Second, it is residence. But it's really called second because of sukun. Why is it called sukun? Now we have the sukun in grammar, or in tajweed at least, in the Arabic language, you have fatha, dhamma, kasra, wa sukun. No vowels. Relaxation. The letter is silent. You don't say A O E. It just as is. Sukun, when used not in the context of grammar, sukun is also tranquility, relaxation, sakina. Second is a place where you're supposed to find that. Your residence is a place where you can take off your clothes and you don't have to worry about anyone looking at you. You can do whatever you want within the limitations of Allah's deen, of course, and you don't have to worry. But you can't do the same thing in the street. You can't be living in the street saying, this is my second, really, because you find no sakina in there. You're distressed. So they're supposed to find that second with your wife as in tranquility and relaxation. وَتَتِمَّ بِذَلِكَ نِعْمَةً, so that the bounty may be fulfilled. وَيَحْصُلْ بِهِ السُّرُورًا, so that you may be happy. So if our condition at home doesn't sound very compatible with this, it means something is wrong in the house. Right? It's supposed to be like this. Everybody's happy, you love your wife and she loves you and all that good stuff. If we're doing something else, meaning we must be doing something against the deen. Otherwise it will be lovely.
وَكَذَلِكَ مِنَ الْمُوجِبِ الدَّاعِ لِتَقْوَى تَسَاؤُلُكُمْ بِهِ وَتَعْظِيمُكُمْ.
And amongst the other reasons why you should have taqwa of Allah is the fact that you ask in His name and you venerate Him. What does that mean? What does it mean, الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ? It's when you say to someone, by Allah, give me back my 5 dirhams. I ask you by Allah, don't ignore me. So people, even the kuffar, when they want to swear by something great, they swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the Christians, which I know and I've mixed with plenty, the Arab Christians at least in Lebanon, they if when it really gets hot, they will swear by Allah. When it's not, they will swear by their mustache. You know, he'll have a big old mustache and he will swear by his mustache or by his pair of shoes. I mean, people swear by funny things, right? But when it really, when the situation is serious, wallah. What you hear is wallah, which is wallahi. Wallahi. Waw is harf qasam. It's an oath. It's a letter used for oath. Billahi, tallahi. Right? Wallahi. All these are huruf al-qasam. These are letters used for swearing. صح ولا لا؟ صح. طيب. حتى إنكم إذا أردتم قضاء حاجاتكم ومآريبكم ومآريبكم توسلتم بها بالسؤال بالله. Even then, when you want to fulfill your needs and your when you want to finish or fulfill your needs, then you beg by using Allah's name, by Allah, as I gave you the example earlier. فَيَقُولُ مَنْ يُرِيدُ ذَلِكَ لِغَيْرِهِ. So a person will say to the other one, أَسْأَلُكَ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ تَفْعَلْ أَمْرَ فُلَانٍ. I ask you by Allah to do such and such thing. لِعِلْمِهِ بِمَا قَامَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِنْ تَعْظِيمِ اللَّهِ. Why? Because he knows that in this person's heart, he magnifies Allah. When he says, I ask you by Allah, that has a special, you know, a special effect on the heart, unlike by swearing by when swearing by someone else, whom he may not care for. But when you say by Allah, that becomes heavy. That becomes heavy. لأن لا ألا يرد من سأله بالله. That you don't want to refuse or reject someone who asks you to do something for him by Allah, by Allah's name. فكما عظمتموه بذلك فلتعظموه بعبادتي وتقوى. The same way you magnified Allah in this fashion, then also magnify Him by worshipping Him and having taqwa of Him. وكذلك الإخبار بأنه رقيب. Now the Shaykh, beautiful tafsir. Notice now, the Shaykh is enumerating the reasons why we're supposed to have taqwa of Allah. First, He's the Rabb. He's the one who created us. How did He create us? From a single soul. Second reason, you ask by Allah's name. Third reason, He is the Raqib, the watchful, the one who's watching every move and every lack of move. Because some people say, I'm not moving. So it doesn't matter. Whether you move or you're still, either way, everything is being observed by Allah. أي مطلع على العباد في حال حركاتهم وسكونهم وسرهم وعلنهم وجميع الأحوال مراقبا لهم فيها. What is the raqib? The one who's looking or watching or observing his slaves and all of their movements. And again, the word sukoon, their relaxation when they're still, when they're not moving. وَسِرِّهِمْ in their secrets. وَعَلَنِهِمْ in the things which they do openly, publicly. وَجَمِيعَ الْأَحْوَالِ and all of their affairs. مُرَاقِبَ لَهُمْ he's observing them in them. مِمَّا يُوجِبُ مُرَاقَبَتَهُ وَشِدَّةِ الْحَيَاءِ مِنْهُ بِلُزُومِ تَقْوَى. This necessitates that we watch Allah not with our naked eyes, as in you will see Allah, but that you're always mindful that Allah is watching you. وَشِدَّةِ الْحَيَاءِ and extreme shyness, modesty, that we become very shy to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we know He is looking over us. So we maintain His taqwa. وَفِي الْإِخْبَارِ بِأَنَّهُ خَلَقَهُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَأَنَّهُ بَثَّهُمْ فِي أَقْطَارِ الْأَرْضِ مَعْ رُجُوعِهِمْ إِلَى أَصْلٍ وَاحِدٍ لِيَعْطِفَ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَيُرَقِّقَ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Now, when Allah informed us that He created us from a single soul, and then the fact that He dispersed us in the various lands, even though we refer back to one origin, this was done in order that we may and kind to one another. Yani Allah is saying this, that all of you came from one source. Even though you may be dispersed all over the land, remember that your origin is one. Of course, this is for the Muslims. This is for the Muslims. That kind of behavior or treatment may not necessarily apply to the non-Muslims unless Islam gave that exception to the rule. Like people who are not at war with us, and we try to incline them towards da'wah or towards Islam, and then this is a whole other detailed situation. But that love and compassion is for the believing slaves of Allah. Because the disbelievers, Allah hates them. And we hate whosoever Allah hates. And we love whosoever Allah loves. Our love and hate are conditional to Allah's love and hate. And Allah told us in the Quran, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah does not love the disbelievers. So we're not going to love someone whom Allah hates. Is that clear? Beautiful. وقرن الأمر بتقواه بالأمر ببر الأرحام والنهي عن قطيعتها ليؤكد هذا الحق. And Allah combined the command of having taqwa of Him along with the command of keeping the kinship ties and forbidding severing the kinship ties in order to affirm this right. The right of keeping the kinship ties and its importance. وأنه كما يلزم القيام بحق الله كذلك يجب القيام بحقوق الخلق. In the same way one is expected or is obliged to maintain and observe Allah's rights, he should also maintain and observe the rights of the creation. So one cannot say, okay, I will worship Allah alone and I will do ibadah, but then he doesn't give the rights of the creation, the rights which Allah gave them. So he takes this person's money, and he robs this one, and he curses that one, and he breaks his kinship ties, and he disrespects his parents, and whatever. Even though he may be a saint in the masjid, he's not fulfilling Allah's rights concerning the rights of the creation which Allah gave them. So one should do both. خصوصا الأقربين منهم, specifically the nearest of kinship, the nearest of kin to you. بل القيام بحقوقهم هو من حق الله الذي أمر الله به. Rather, observing their rights is part of Allah's right, which He commanded. وتأمل كيف افتتح هذه السورة بالأمر بالتقوى. Now the Shaykh said, reflect, ponder, contemplate how Allah initiated the surah by commanding that we have taqwa, وصلت الأرحام, and keeping the kinship ties, والأزواج عموما, and couples in general, spouses. ثم بعد ذلك فصل هذه الأمور أتم تفصيل من أول السورة إلى آخرها. Then this surah became an actual explanation, a detailed explanation of these commands in the beginning of the surah. As we read, inshallah, you will see that we will be discussing the right of Allah, al-Rabb, al-Khaliq, and the keeping the kinship ties, and the right, and you see that in the miraat, and the law of inheritance, and what have you, and what? The taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. All of these now will be addressed in this surah. This surah is an introduction to break them down. So Allah began with them, then He detailed them later on in the surah. فَكَأَنَّهَا مَبْنِيَّةً عَلَى هَذِي الْأُمُورِ الْمَذْكُورَةِ. So it is as if the surah is based on the things which were called for at the beginning. The rights of the spouses, the rights of the kinship ties, and the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مفصلة لما أجمل منها, and the surah will detail what was generally addressed in the beginning. موضحة لما أبهم, it will clarify whatever may be ambiguous. وفي قوله وخلق منها زوجها, تنبيه على مراعاة حق الأزواج والزوجات والقيام به. When Allah said, and He created from it, meaning from that soul, Adam, its mate, or its mate,
He said there's an Allah's trying to bring our attention to the fact that we should maintain the rights of the spouses, the husbands and the wives, each concerning the other. لِكَوْنِ الزَّوْجَاتِ مَخْلُوقَاتٍ مِنَ الْأَزْوَاجِ. Because women were created from men. From what?
From the rib
of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Hawa was created from a rib. And Prophet ﷺ said, compared women to a bent or a crooked rib. If you try to straighten it, it will break. And if you leave it as is, it's going to be crooked. So enjoy it. Enjoy it with the crookedness. Otherwise, if you want another man in the house, because that's what we want. Here's what we want. Men want another man in the body of a woman. Yeah, and you want to enjoy her, physically at least, and you know, as a woman, but you want her mind to be like your buddy. She should understand everything. She should agree with you on everything. It's not going to happen. It doesn't happen, man. Women are different. And you're like, what the heck is this, man? This lady doesn't understand anything. Yes. And she's saying, you don't understand anything. Because you're not a woman either. You think a certain way, she thinks a certain way. So we need to stop wanting a man in the house, as in your friend who can understand everything just by you snapping your fingers. It's not going to happen. Right? So we have to accept them. If you want to enjoy that physical beauty or whatever, then you have to get along with that, you know, the mental deficiencies. That's how Allah created them. Alhamdulillah. They have to deal with us. We have to deal with them. No one is perfect. No one is perfect. But يعني, Allah musta'an. If you're not married, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to drive you away or have you avoid marriage. Rather, get married. There's a lot of fun involved. But every fun, you know, there must be some suffering along with it. Even when you go swimming, you know, if you want to go scuba diving or snorkeling, you're still taking risk that a shark may eat you up, or an octopus, or the jellyfish. You may get harmed, you may drown, but you want to have fun, so you have to take a risk. You want to go bungee jumping, the rope may, you know, snap, and you may break your neck. A roller coaster, you may never make it back. Anything you want to enjoy, there's a risk in it. Same, sawa, with the harim. Now, فَبَيَّنَهُمْ وَبَيَّنَهُنَّ أَقْرَبُ نَسَبٌ فَبَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَهُنَّ أَقْرَبُ نَسَبٌ وَأَشَدُّ اتِّصَالٌ وَأَوْثَقُ عَلَاقَةٌ. So, between the male and the female, between the two spouses, there's the closest relation and the strongest connection and the strongest or the most يعني the strongest relationship between the husband and the wife. And I think that is sufficient, inshallah ta'ala. Or shall we do this? Let's do ayah number 2. وَآتُوا الْيَتَامَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ وَلَا تَتَبَدَّلُوا الْخَبِيثَ بِالطَّيِّبِ وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَمْوَالِكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ حُوبًا كَبِيرًا. Who has the English? I got it. Sorry, Chief. I beat you to it. And give unto orphans their property, and do not exchange your bad things to their good ones, and devour not their substance by adding it to your substance. Put them together and take them. Surely this is a great sin. هذا أول ما أوصى به من حقوق الخلق في هذه السورة. This is the first wasiyah, advice, or recommendation, or obligation, or covenant, which Allah Azza wa Jal took upon the creation. The first thing He commanded them was what? Concerning the rights of the creation, هم اليتامى, the orphans. الذين فقدوا آباءهم الكافرين لهم. The ones who lost their fathers, who were the caretakers. By the way, The Islamic definition, tell them to lower their voice please. The Islamic definition of yatim is not what you think. It is not someone who lost his parents. It is someone who lost his father while he is in the age of need. If one's mother is alive, he's still considered a yatim Islamically. Because the father is the provider. Once the provider is gone, then he is like a yatim. The mother being alive does not make him a regular person or not a yatim or a yatim. I got confused. His mother being alive doesn't mean anything. He's still a yatim. If the one who provides for him, which is his father, has was deceased or dead, expired. That's important, by the way. Do you know this particular definition? وَهُمْ صِغَارٌ ضُعَافٌ. So when the father, the one who is supporting him, is gone, and they are young and weak. صغار, young. ضِعَافٌ ضَعِيفٌ. حَدِيثٌ ضَعِيفٌ. It's a weak narration. ضِعَاف, they are weak. لَا يَقُومُونَ بِمَصَالِحِهِمْ. They cannot maintain their own needs. فَأَمَرَ الرَّؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ عِبَادَهُ أَنْ يُحْسِنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. So the most compassionate and merciful commanded his slaves that they treat them with kindness. Who? The orphans. يُحْسِنُوا. They excel with them. وَأَنْ لَا يَقْرَبُوا أَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي يَحْسَنَ. And they should not do anything to their wealth except to that which is best. يعني take their money to do business with it and make it grow, alhamdulillah. But try to consume their money. يعني what is the idea here? The idea is that someone's father died. And this person has some money which he deserves. But he's too young for you to hand him the money over. The people who are in charge of the money, keep that money with them. Now what happened is people used to do in Jahiliyyah and otherwise, the money of the orphan, they will eat it up, they will devour it, or they will lie, they will put it with theirs, and say we're trying to do this, and they will wind up consuming the wealth of the orphan. Allah made that haram. Unless you want to use your money to make it grow. إِلَّا بِالَّتِي يَحْسَنْ. But to consume it like that, unlawfully, this is haram. وَأَيُّتُوهُمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ إِذَا بَلَغُوا وَرَشَدُوا كَامِلَةً مُوَفَّرًا. And that they should give them their wealth. When they have reached the age of discretion, and they become, you know, they have they're intellectual, they're able to, you know, use the money, they know what to do with it. Complete their whole wealth. Don't take anything out of it. وَأَلَّا يَتَبَدَّلُ الْخَبِيثُ عَفْوًا الَّذِي هُوَ أَكْلُ مَالُ الْيَتِيمِ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ بِالطَّيِّبِ وَهُوَ الْحَلَالُ الَّذِي مَا فِيهِ حَرَجٌ وَلَا تَبِعَ. And that they should not substitute the bad, which is consuming the wealth of the orphan without any right, بِالطَّيِّبِ, which is what is halal. That which has no, there's no blame for you, blame on you because of it. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَمْوَالِكُمْ أي مَعَ أَمْوَالِكُمْ. Meaning don't eat their wealth with yours. فَذِهِ تَنْبِيهٌ لِقُبْحِ أَكْلِ مَالِ بَذِي حَالَ. This indicates how horrendous it is to consume their wealth in this condition, in this situation. الَّتِي هِيَ قَدْ اسْتَغْنَ بِهَا الْإِنسَانِ بِمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِنْ رِزْقِ فِي مَالِهِ. Because Allah Azza wa Jal had sufficed a human being in what He gave him of wealth. فَمَنْ تَجَرَّعَ عَلَىٰ هَذِي الْحَالَ فَقَدْ أَتَى حُوبًا كَبِيرًا إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا وَوِزْرًا جَسِيمًا. So whoever then transgresses and he consumes their wealth unlawfully, then he has committed إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا, a great sin. إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا, a great sin. وَوِزْرًا جَسِيمًا, and a huge violation. ومن استبدال الخبيث بالطيب أن يأخذ الولي من مال اليتيم النفيس ويجعل بدله من مال الخسيس. Among the examples of substituting the خبيث بالطيب is that the one who's in charge of the money,
Now of course when we speak of money, we're not speaking of riyal. Yani the boy may have property, he may have some gold, silver, he may have some things, different things. Part of it is that the person will take away the good things which the orphan has and give him the bad things which he has. He will substitute the good quality. Let's say he has an iron, right, or a refrigerator. So he takes the good guy and he gives him the bad guy. And he says, I still have his fridge. I didn't take the fridge. He still has a fridge. Yeah, but you took the good one and you gave him the bad one. This is part of it. وَفِيهِ الْوِلَايَ عَلَى الْيَتِيمِ. And in this ayah, there's a, we deduce the ruling of wilaya, guardianship over the yatim, over the orphan. لِأَنَّ مَنْ لَازَمَ إِيْتَى الْيَتِيمَ لَهُ ثُبُوتَ مِنْ لَازِمْ إِيْتَى الْيَتِيمَ لَهُ ثُبُوتَ وِلَايَةَ الْمُؤْتِي عَلَى مَالِهِ. Because part of the, in order to be able to give the wealth to the orphan, is first proving that there's someone who's a guardian over him, in charge. وَفِيهِ الْأَمْرُ بِإِصْلَاحِ مَالِ الْيَتِيمِ. And there's a command in this ayah to rectify and to better the wealth of the orphan. لِأَنَّ تَمَامِ إِتَائِهِ مَالَهُ وَحِفْظُهُ وَالْقِيَامُ بِهِ. Because part of the يعني fulfillment of maintaining the wealth of the orphan is that you preserve it and you maintain it. بِمَا يُصْلِحُ وَيُنَمِّيهِ. In that which makes it grow. In that which will grow his wealth. وَعَدَمْ تَعْرِيدِهِ لِلْمَخَوِفُ وَالْأَخْطَارَ. That you do not expose it or jeopardize his wealth by dealing with businesses which probably will go bad or something of this nature. Now, so this was the conclusion of ayah number 2. Inshallah ta'ala, next week we'll be dealing with the ayah which is most favored by many Muslims in the world, the ayah about marrying 4 women. Inshallah. And we will deal with the misconceptions that the Christians and the Kuffar in general present concerning the marriage of Muslims to more than one woman, and we will refute it inshallah with silencing refutation that no one can argue with, whether textually or logically. So that would be next week. وَأَخْرُ دَعْوَانِ حَمْدِ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ.